So at home, you will continue the practice for much longer period of time, at least half hour. The real practice happens in seclusion. We cannot do that obviously here, but I hope you got the idea of how we practice to get in touch with the feelings, how we develop the awareness of feelings. As you exhale, please bend forward and stretch out your arms. And you can come back up, relieve any stress that you may have built up. Feeling is the foremost component of our experience. Whatever we experience in the world through the five senses, seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, touching, right? Those are the predominant categories of our experiences. All the experiences begin with a feeling. There is a contact with the external world that's called sensation. But sensation is not an experience. Sensation leads to a feeling. And that's the experience, as experience. So if there was no feeling, there would not be any experience of the world. So we have to understand that feeling is the foremost component of experience. Why it is important to understand that, we'll get to that soon. But first I want to know whether you are able to actually feel the body as, you know, you are moving your attention from top to bottom, bottom to top. You want to share any experiences? You could feel the body. Mm-hmm. You could touch it without touching it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Move the awareness to wherever you were guiding us.
Right. What were you feeling?
For me in particular, I'd feel a little tingling sensation, probably a rush of blood under the skin.
Okay.
And if that body part was experiencing, I wouldn't say pain, but something unusual, and I was aware of that.
Feeling that, yeah. What I'm trying to say is, it's not just intellectual, like he's thinking that he's feeling. It's a real experience. He's actually feeling the feeling, that tingling sensation, the rush of blood, the warmth of life. That is actually real feeling as feeling, not just some intellectual thought, I'm feeling something. Did you feel anything? Anybody else?
Warmth. Not all the time, but certain parts felt warm.
Warmth. That's a real feeling. It's neither auto-suggestion nor hypnotism or any of that. It's a real experience.
I have some pain in the shoulder, so whenever it goes through that, I could feel that.
Excellent. Absolutely. Yeah. Pain is a feeling, right? It's an unpleasant feeling. It's a real experience, so, and it's a gross feeling, so it's easy to experience, easy to feel the pain. When we learn to realize that, first of all, pain is a feeling, nature of feeling is impermanence, and when you establish yourself in that understanding, then you will not react to pain. It's just a feeling. It's going to come and go, you know. And that's how we develop equanimity towards pain and pleasure. But that comes with practice. Any other experiences of actually feeling?
I felt something strange. I something like my whole body wasn't breathing when I was sitting there. It was just like the breath was coming all the way down.
Okay.
And I kept getting stuck. Like, it seemed to be like, oh, it was weird.
That's also a real feeling.
Really? Is it?
Absolutely.
And it's still there. And it's kind of like, what is that? Yeah. Is the breath really just in the middle? Or?
It quite frankly, it's immaterial. The point is, you're actually feeling the feeling. People say that the breath does move through the central column, and there are esoteric terms for it. But for today's discussion, the point is, whatever you're feeling is a feeling. Because there's a big discussion about whether it's really a feeling or it's just auto-suggestion.
But is it real?
And that's what I'm trying to emphasize upon, that you are feeling the real thing. You're actually feeling the body. I mean, when you touch yourself, you feel something, but you are physically touching. And what I'm trying to say is, you don't have to physically touch to feel your body. It's feeling. You're feeling basically as the breath is moving. It may or may not be moving through the whole body, but you are feeling the body. Breath is just a way to keep your attention on the field. And you have to have that intention also. So, there are technicalities of biochemical technicalities, physiological technicalities of whether really the breath is moving through the middle column or not. But that's not our focus today. The focus is that without physically touching, you can touch yourself anywhere in the body and become aware of the body. Why it is important to stay in touch with the body or become aware of the body?
So that the body doesn't control you, you control the body.
Absolutely. Bottom line, for example, what do we do when we see a chocolate? I guess everybody is a chocolate lover here. What do we do? We grab the chocolate and we eat it. Why we do that? It's not the chocolate we are reacting to. It's the pleasant feeling that is arising in the body that we are reacting to. Chocolate is just an external object. It's just the object of stimulus. It has nothing to do with what you are behaving or what your action is. It's the pleasantness that arises the moment you see the chocolate. Bang! You want that pleasantness to continue. So what do? You eat the chocolate. So if somebody wants to reduce their weight, you can try forever your dieting or Jenny Craig or whatever. It may or may not work, but if you train yourself to stay in touch with your feelings, then you can do whatever. Reduce your weight, or increase your weight, or whatever. When you have an argument with your spouse, why do we argue back or fight? Why? It's not the spouse. It's not even the words of the spouse. It's not even the meaning of those words. What happens is, your spouse is arguing with you. There is the unpleasant feeling arising in the body. You don't want that unpleasantness. You want to push it away. And so you argue. He is just a stimulus. The entire world, external world, it's just a stimulus. We don't react to the world. We react to ourselves. That's number one, to understand that. And the second one is to how to get rid of that reaction, right? Unless you feel, you will be just driven by the subconscious forces. You will be driven by the feelings, like she said. Body runs you, not you run the body, right? That's exactly what's happening. Body wants pleasure, you give it pleasure. Body wants to push away unpleasantness, you keep pushing away unpleasantness. We are ruled by the body. how we rule the body is not by controlling it, but by managing, not even managing, but by first becoming aware of the feelings that arise in the body, and then let it come and go, not reacting to it. Understanding that all feelings, the inherent nature of all feelings, is impermanence. If you practice that, if you practice Surya's meditation every day, twice a week, twice a day, for, you know, throughout the week for 7 months, I'm just throwing out that number based on my experience, a day will come where whenever anything happens to you, suddenly you will get in touch with the feeling in the body. Instantly. Okay, there's this feeling. And the moment you are in touch with the body, there's at least 75% chance that you won't react. You won't pick up that piece of pizza. You know? Okay, there is that double cheese pizza there, and you're feeling pleasantness there. Instantly in touch with that pleasantness. Let me see how long it lasts. Just stay with that feeling. Just observe it. It's gonna go down. So there is a stimulus, the feeling arises. So it arises, and when you react, its strength increases, right? It increases exponentially. It turns into a craving. Turns into addiction, turns into slavery of the body. Yeah. So you cannot stop feelings from arising. It arises, you become aware of it, it goes down. That's its nature. We don't fuel the feelings, basically. We don't allow it to burn. When it burns, we burn. You know, all desires, all cravings, it's basically burning, you know. Burning in, and or suffering, you may call it. How are emotions? Let's say anger, for example. How to deal with an emotion of anger or lust or craving?
Observe it and let it pass.
Correct. But not the anger, the feeling. You know how anger arises? First, there is an unpleasant feeling. You know, your child is just screaming and yelling and just running around the house, right? There is unpleasantness first. When we react to that unpleasantness, it gains strength, turns into anger. So before that happens, you get in touch with that unpleasantness. Allow it to pass away. We hear a lot about emotional intelligence, right? Has anybody read that book, Emotional Intelligence?
Yeah. EQ.
EQ, right. I would humbly make a suggestion to Daniel Goleman or whoever is working in that field, is that if you want to be intelligent emotionally, first learn about your feelings. Feelings lead to emotions. Feeling is the foremost forerunner of all emotions. Unpleasant feeling is a forerunner for the emotion of anger. A pleasant feeling, a greedy feeling, is the forerunner for the emotion of lust, so on and so forth. So if we want to master our emotions, we master our feelings. How do we master our feelings? Through such meditations. Constantly staying in touch with what sensations are arising, how you're feeling in the body. You know? We started our yoga practice, right? We're trying to feel, right? Feel the back, feel the joints, the shoulder area. It was not just an exercise in feeling. We're basically developing groundwork, a foundation for EQ, emotional intelligence. What do you think?
I agree as well.
Yeah, it was more of observing as a third person, whatever arises. And then just watch that with amusement, which is that's what I do. Once it goes away, that was it.
That's wonderful. I like that word, amusement. That's a good strategy. So, yeah, really. I mean, it's hard to watch your pain with amusement, but I think with practice, we can learn that too, you know.
But sometimes, I mean, it's not as simple as that. In the sense, yes, the feeling you can observe and, you know, that thing. But sometimes you realize something. Like, for example, when I was doing this, I realized a thought, which was a very mixed kind of a thought. And I tried to analyze it and tried to, it wasn't like I was feeling it and I just let go. It wasn't, I have to explain myself and get out of it. It was made more complex than that.
That is also another practice, in fact.
There is a little contemplation here. Like,
absolutely.
It is a mixed overwhelming ego.
Sure. Yeah. Today what we learned is one of the tools in our toolbox, you know. We have there are many different types of meditations, many ways of handling all the challenges that we face. Today is one of the tools, and what you just mentioned is another kind of actually meditation where you actually observe the thoughts themselves, not the feelings. But we are going towards there, you know. We have been working with breath for quite some time. Now we are into feeling. Now we're going to go to thought. And I think you had asked about that a few weeks ago, you know, about thoughts. And so thought is subtler than feeling. But all thoughts, this is another profound revelation of ancient masters. All thoughts, all mental phenomena give rise to feeling. All. So, the way to understand your thoughts is actually feeling. It's a very concrete way to understand your mind, your temperament, is through feeling. So, you had something to say?
Yeah, I mean, for the day-to-day stimuli, You can of course, you know, in that moment of time, observe rather than react. But you have to take some action. You can't just observe and be amused and not do anything.
Absolutely.
Because
so, good point.
People will call us crazy.
No, it's not about being inactive. It's about becoming proactive. So, the bottom line, the first step is to be non-reactive. Then only you can be proactive. You know, so it's actually what is proaction? A real action, you know, not inaction. So you're absolutely right. So once we are not reacting, then we can act, right? If you see your child in a very dangerous situation, there is a very intense, unpleasant feeling in the body. It's a feeling of fear. If you react to that, you will probably cause more harm than good. But if you observe your fear, it's not going to go away right away. But the moment you're in touch with that feeling, oh, there is fear in me, then all of a sudden you will be creative, intuitive, and then you will act. You will be able to save the child. There's a much higher probability that you will be able to take the child away from harm's way than just suddenly reacting and rushing, you know. Like if the child is drowning and if you don't know how to swim, you'll probably just jump in water trying to swim. That's a reaction. But what would be action, you know? You would not jump, right? You would try to find something that you can float on or scream or yell or do something which would be intuitive, creative, That would be an action. So if your plane is going down, you know, that's why I guess they say put your stuff on first, you know, before you put the mask on your child, you know. So it's all about becoming more intuitive, creative, proactive. But not just through auto-suggestion or intellectually, but based on the laws of nature, you know, understanding the fundamental laws of nature. That's also very important, right? We're not developing some kind of a game plan or a new age technique, you know. It's about knowing yourself. It's about knowing the reality of our being.
Sometimes there is, I know we talked about this and then we focus that that moment is going to pass, but there is pain in the body that keeps on lasting, and moment passes after another, but you still have that pain.
Right.
How do you deal with that?
Basically, the first thing is becoming aware of pain as an unpleasant feeling, that it's a feeling. Once you become aware of it, you observe it only to the extent it doesn't aggravate to pain. So there are three levels, right? There is unpleasantness, there is aggravation, and there is pain. See what I'm saying? So you have unpleasantness. You observe it to the extent it becomes not become pain, but just before that, with awareness, you release your foot. For example, while meditating, you will have intense pain in your knees if you sit for a long time. But everything with awareness. I'm having pain. It's aggravating. So it's like this, right? You're sitting. There's this burning sensation in your knee. So you realize, okay, there is this intense unpleasantness in my knee. You don't do like this. Ouch. That's a reaction, okay? What you do is, there is pain. It's aggravating. It's becoming intense. Now it's not tolerable. Okay, let me relieve it. So, with awareness, you're relieving it. You're still with the pain. Now the pain is gone. You're also aware of that, though. Okay, the pain is gone. Back into your meditation. Simple.
I think he's talking about emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how to release that?
Same. Like I said, there will be a manifestation in the body. So let's say you have fear or you have been deceived by somebody, for example, right? This tremendous emotional pain, right? First and foremost, realize that it is a feeling, an unpleasant feeling. When you do that, then you're focused on yourself. Then the person who deceived you is no longer in the picture. And that's really the reality. That person who deceived you is just a stimulus, okay? Just a proximate cause, not the root cause. There's a subtle difference there, right? So as soon as the person who deceived you is out of the picture, you're fully on your feeling. That itself will reduce your pain tremendously. In fact, we should try that. And the moment you get in touch with your feeling of unpleasantness, your emotion will subside. Because there's no fuel for it. Right? You're extinguishing your emotion. You don't have a choice, actually. If you're a wise person, what other choice you have? Go out and get even with that person? Right? That's what most of the quote-unquote, sorry for my language, but fools do, right? And I've been a fool. I still do foolish things, right? That's not a choice, really. At least not the wise choice. The only choice, really, we have is to get in touch with your feelings, let it subside, and focus on yourself rather than the external world. You know? We really cannot change the external world.
Yeah.
We can only change ourselves.
Alcohol sometimes.
Well, That's a good point, actually. But we will discuss all addictions. Right. We will talk about that intense remorse, guilt, depression. Same technique we have to use, but there are certain modifications. Because these things don't happen overnight, right? So there is a tendency to grab a bottle, right? Because we are just in so much pain, right? It's okay to grab a bottle. Really, literally. But then there are some really cool techniques, what you do after that, you know? Because there is no forcing. You don't force yourself out of an emotion. Neither you suppress or depress your emotions. That's the beauty of what we are training. Yeah.
That's the intoxication and nuclear blast.
Right. Actually, I'll correct myself. What I meant to say was neither we suppress or express our emotions.
Not even express?
No, we are not supposed to express or suppress. What would be an expression if somebody deceives you, trying to get even with that person, right? In an argument, if you get angry, what is an expression? Arguing back, right? So neither we express, nor we suppress that anger inside. No. Both are equally harmful.
But by talking, you do reduce the pain. You may not want to talk to the person you are fighting with, but go talk to someone who are close to you.
Try
to
release your emotions. That
you've done that
by
your
lot.
You just don't like something, and that's why you're not angry.
That's an action, absolutely.
So it's basically, you don't react.
You act.
You know, you act. And then before you act, there is a pause, moment of pause, where you know, listen to your feelings, and then you think about what to do, and then you act.
Bottom line. This is pretty much the bottom line of the whole approach. Yep. That pause is the whole thing, you know. You know, I mean, we really have to be lucky to just slip into that gap. Just that pause there. And the whole practice is about that. To get into the gap really fast. Into the pause, instead of getting carried away by the body or the subconscious forces.
And I realized with myself, because I don't stretch my legs. Once I sit, I don't stretch my legs.
Mm-hmm.
I do get pain, but as you said, you know, after some time, it just goes away.
Yep.
So. You just have to get into that process.
Right.
Absolutely. I went through the same. Now I don't have the desire to give in and, you know, stretch my leg, start moving.
Yep.
And I don't even reach that level which I probably as defined as pain.
Pain.
But the key...
It. But you cannot deny that it is not there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It is
absolutely.
There.
Yeah.
It's
real.
It will go away.
Mm-hmm.
It's
real.
It still will pass.
And the key to understand is you are not controlling the pain. Very important to understand that. You are not controlling.
But isn't that suppressing?
Sorry?
Isn't that suppressing?
Neither you are suppressing.
But that is suppressing.
You are simply letting it happen. Because it's the inherent nature of body to pain. Even if you don't have pain through meditation, you will experience pain through old age, through disease. You cannot avoid pain.
But you can relieve it, like if you can stretch your
right.
legs and all that.
Yes, you can.
No, but the analogy is you're taking the breath,
mm-hmm.
and there's a pause, right?
Mm-hmm.
You pause, and then you exhale.
Mm-hmm.
And in that pause, you feel like more light. I feel that happiness.
Right.
I think there's an analogy.
Absolutely.
To what you are, you know, making us do physically and what we actually experience.
That's precisely why we are doing it. We are transforming the abstract into the real, you know. The pause thing, you can actually experience its nature in the retention, you know. In the retention, you will have that certain sense of mastery, mental mastery. There's no discursive thinking. There is utter, absolutely concrete awareness in that. Retention. Has everybody experienced that?
Yes.
The retention seems more pleasant.
And
suspension is like you can't wait to inhale.
Yeah.
Like, come on, be over.
But ultimately, suspension is the is what we are gearing up towards. Okay, but it starts with retention. You know that.
In the retention, you are in the present mode.
Absolutely.
It's not drifting.
Yeah.
When you are inhaling or exhaling, that's when the mind is wandering.
The movement of breath is directly related to movement of thought. We are understanding that experientially. Okay. Now, it's not that whenever you are restless, you just no, you realize that, okay, the breath movement is related to movement of thought. So let me just become aware of my breath movement. So you do like this. You want intentional breath movement can relieve your stress. Example, nervousness. If you are going to perform on a stage, there is that nervousness, right? There is fear. If you just stop for a moment, take some deep breaths, become aware of movement of your breath, you will become aware of movement of your thought, right? So it's not just that you are trying to suspend the movement of your thoughts. You can also use the movement of your breath to regulate the movement of your thoughts. Because at that moment, you don't want nervousness, you want excitement. You want exhilaration, right? So, I can do this. This is the best, this is what I do best, you know. And you go on the stage.
In that retention, I try to think. I actually tested it. I couldn't.
Yep.
I was just
there. Okay. And we'll talk about that, how it relates to the understanding of mind and consciousness. What's the distinction between mind and consciousness? So we'll use that as a seed, and next we'll discuss how today's discussion can lead us to understanding of difference between mind and consciousness.
Doesn't the whole body become attention, like you're saying, starting from here? By the third pass, for me, it was all seen. Touching here, of course, I could feel. At the same time, I could touch here, whole thing was being as the same. Is that something?
Absolutely. Your awareness is becoming sharper, and I mean your mindfulness is becoming sharper and sharper. That leads to that quality of awareness. And then a time comes when you really don't feel the body. There's only flow of awareness.
Right.
It's just that flow of awareness. And that's what and actually after that, there is a stage where there is emptiness. And the Zen masters call it shunyata, the Vedanta people call it shunyata. Some traditions call it nothingness. Some people call it emptiness. So.
Yeah, nothingness, you can always feel that once you look inside, where there is no emotions, no feelings, no being, no days. Yes. That you can always
be.
I think that
We're going to go there slowly, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, there is nothing.
Yeah. It's a fantastic journey. So.
Great. Inside, it's not outside. It's sort of deep inside.
And then later on, there is no inside and outside.
Okay.
So, yeah. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I have one announcement to make. I was thinking, since it's a spring break, we can have a picnic at Boston Park. That is